It's the Natural Co-Creator Show, and I'd like to introduce Jackie Kirby. Welcome, Jackie. And I understand that Jackie is a therapist, an EFT therapist. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that, Jackie?
Well, first of all, good morning, Jennifer, and thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a great privilege for me to do this. The EFT is called Emotional Freedom Techniques, and it is part of my practice. What happened and how I learned EFT was it helped me recover from ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Do carry on. I'll listen to you talk about the EFT, and then I'll ask you some questions about your health, if that's okay, what happened.
Yeah, that's fine. What happened was I was very ill for about 12 months, lots of antibiotics, lots of steroids, and after having numerous tests and scans and everything else done, the final diagnosis was that I probably had ME, because there is no actual test to say that you actually have ME. It's a process of elimination, and this is how they come up with your diagnosis. And if you've got certain things wrong, and you've had it for so long and you're actually getting steadily worse, this is when they tie in the diagnosis.
Yeah. I mean, some people would suggest ME is literally me, a crisis about you, a health crisis that relates to you personally as a result of factors building up emotionally. Would you say that it is an emotionally based condition?
I have to say I would steer away from telling people that it is all emotion or that it's all in your mind, because a lot of people have been told that when it was originally discovered and it was called yuppie flu, a lot of people felt that they were being fobbed off, that it was all in their mind, whereas actually the body and mind are very much connected, and you need to work on both simultaneously to clear the emotional issues that have caused the ME in the first place.
Yeah, I do see what you mean by that. Whether it has an emotional base, it still manifests as a physical condition. So it can't be fobbed off. It is a physical condition. It is an illness. And you're right, people did call it that in the beginning. But so how did that impact on your life, having the ME? What were you not able to do, and what were you able to do still? You know, what measure did it affect you in your life?
Oh gosh, Jennifer, at the beginning what happened was it started in the form of asthma, and what happened was my asthma got progressively worse, and with each antibiotic and each lot of steroids that I had, it progressively affected my body until my body got so sluggish that I couldn't walk for 5 minutes without my husband's support. Eventually, I had to give in and get a stick, not only just for support on the side that my husband wasn't on, but to keep my back straight, because I was very much aware that as I got older, if I couldn't find a solution, that I would be bent double, because I hadn't got the energy to keep my back straight on my own, that I needed my husband's support on one side and a stick on the other to help me to stay upright.
Goodness me, that is very, very serious, then, isn't it? I mean, it's a serious condition, and obviously that would affect your life enormously in everyday chores, everyday living. You'd be able to work with a condition like that, for instance, would you?
Oh, definitely not. I did end up leaving work, but what I found was there were days when I was so bad that I couldn't lift my legs off the mattress. They were just sunk into it overnight, and I couldn't get up that day because, number one, I hadn't the energy to get out of bed, and if I did, it was just to go to the bathroom. There was no such thing as, well, I'll shower today, because I hadn't the energy.
No, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, now that you're fit and well. I expect that you were like that, you know, at that point. So what I'm interested in is, obviously this was very difficult. So how long did this go on for, would you say, from the start, when you started getting it until it became chronic?
From the start, it was about 3 years in total, maybe slightly more, to the point where I went and did a World Tapping Summit that Nick Ortner organized in America. And it was a free event, and it went on for 10 days. And they had lots of speakers from the health world, Nick Ortner himself, his sister, Dawson Church, lots of other people. And I listened to the radio for 10 days to listen to how I was going to help myself get better. And at the end of those 10 days, I said to my husband, I need to learn EFT so that I can get myself well again.
Right.
And that was my turning point.
What a big step for you to take. What a brave person to move out of where you were so stuck and it was so hard for you physically to move to the point where you went on a course. And was that course a physical place that you visited, or was it an online course? Or?
No, it was very much a physical place. When I was finished listening to the World Tapping Summit, I went online to have a look and see, could I have some EFT training near to where I live, which is Kershaw in Worcestershire. And I found an EFT master trainer giving a course on the 22nd of March, and it was 20 minutes away from me in Studley.
Wow.
And that was how I went and did my training.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I've heard of EFT before, because actually I do know a couple of people that do it, but I hadn't actually heard of EFT matrix reimprinting. Is that different in some way?
EFT matrix reimprinting is actually a combination of EFT and matrix reimprinting. They very much complement each other. Let me explain a bit further. EFT is all about tapping on the main acupuncture meridian points on the top of the body, on the head, the collarbone, under the arm, and the tips of the fingers. And thinking about the issues that are stuck in your body while you tap on these points. And where matrix reimprinting comes in is, if you have a trauma that's held in your body and you keep thinking about this trauma, running it in your mind every day so that it's having an adverse effect on your body, where matrix reimprinting comes in is you go in and you go into the energy field and you talk to your younger self. People call their younger self your inner child. And you talk to your inner child at the point or shortly after the trauma, depending on how big or small the trauma is. And you go in and you ask your inner child, what do you need to make this better? And you can go in and change the picture. I'm not saying that you change the trauma. The trauma has still happened, and you acknowledge that. And you thank your inner child for holding on to that energy for you, but it's time to let it go now. And you ask your inner child what they need to make this picture better. And it might be just to have a voice. If it's a major trauma or abuse, the person might need to have a voice and feel that they can say no. And you change the picture to what your inner child needs, so that the picture is a pleasant picture. It could be sitting in the park, it could be at the beach, it could be just sitting, having a hug and a cuddle with your younger self. And what this picture does is it changes what you're running in your life day to day. Every time you think about what happened, instead of thinking about the trauma, you think about the new picture that you've re-imprinted, which is what matrix re-imprinting is all about. And so that you're not running the trauma continually every day for the rest of your life, you are looking at the new picture that you've re-imprinted, and with the help of EFT, you have dissolved the issue that you've been running. Does that make sense to you, Jennifer?
Yes, it does make sense, because I have myself had some inner child healing, and I've had some tapping, but I haven't actually had it together. But I would imagine that it's very powerful together. But I certainly know what you mean about putting in a new image, because to a certain extent, when I had that done myself, the inner child putting in a new vision, when I go in my head to think about this particular situation when I was a child, I now get the new image, not the old one. So I would say, yes, it has worked, but I would imagine that the releasing through the EFT at the same time, I would imagine it would work even better, to be quite honest with you.
It's absolutely, it's a very gentle way to work when you've had a fear, a trauma. It doesn't have to be necessarily a big trauma. If you have an emotional block, if you've been dealing with anxiety and depression and there's something that's stuck there, when you can go in the matrix and just release this blockage, it's very powerful, but it's very gentle and it's life changing. It really is life changing.
That's really fantastic. I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm just going to say about a little example personally that happened to me, and maybe you can refer that back to your work, that when I was a child, we used to have a lot of arguments around the dinner table. And I know that this is probably quite a common one where parents are either arguing or somebody's not happy around the table, your sister's not happy, or your brother or someone leaves the table, or, you know, and actually I always used to think of that situation, whereas now I tend to think of the past. I go into another situation where I'm actually quite happily playing with my toys, and I've got a much, I'm not at the table anymore, but for some reason I always was in my mind sitting at this table. And this is the table I'm actually leaning on now, so that is just bizarre that the table came into my possession. And I tried to sell it on eBay because I really, really hated it. I thought, I hate this table. I hate the bad things that I associated with it. Although there were many good meals later on, when I was a young child, there were some unfortunate ones. So I actually ended up with this table, and I decided in the end that I was meant to keep it because it didn't go and nobody wanted it. Although it was a very nice 1950s table, I decided that I could actually give it a new lease of life and apply my energies to the table and the happiness in my own house. So it's quite interesting because I think that it is a bit like changing the picture, but we do have the power to change that picture, don't we?
Oh, we definitely, we have the power to do quite a lot that we don't give ourselves credit for. And the thing is, and going back to the table, that table would have been very significant because during your younger life, between 0 to 6, you are like a sponge soaking up the energy from everybody around you. And this is where a lot of emotional issues that people hold on to are from childhood. They can be traced back to years between 0 to 6 because they have such a big influence on our energy field. And when you run that image for maybe 30, 40, 50 years, it has a great impact on your life. So I could well empathize with what you're saying about the table. But with what we would do with EFT and matrix reimprinting, we would go back to those childhood memories. And we would, not only would we change the images, but when you go back in the matrix, you can bring in whoever you need to help you to resolve the emotional issues. And you can actually go back and speak to your mom or your dad, and you can actually ask them why the arguments came up and how you can resolve it between you so that you have a better memory. It's just absolutely amazing. It really is amazing.
It is incredible, isn't it? Because, I mean, even though that situation was many years ago where there were times when my mother was unwell, and I think that's the main reason why we used to have my mum bursting into tears and my dad sort of being aggressive and sending people down from the table, you know, and things like this. But I think the actual association becomes sometimes with the objects, doesn't it? Because
yeah,
I kept on thinking, do I want that on that flipping table, because it was like a love-hate relationship with the table, because it was the family gathering. It was the good times as well as the bad times, but it's funny how the mind also can link on to the bad times, not all the fantastic times when we played Monopoly, all the great Christmases we had, the few times when it was unpleasant. You remember them, don't you? Not the actual good ones. So it wasn't a continual thing, but the mind makes it like that, doesn't it? Because as a child, you're damaged and you just keep revisiting that, don't you?
And this is where EFT can help, because even EFT on its own can go in and deal with these issues by tapping on the meridians and releasing a lot of what you're carrying in your body. Because not only did you carry it in your body, but you also focused on the table. The table was your point of focus. And it can have a profound effect on a small child when these things happen around the table.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so we're going to move on a little bit now, and I'm going to also talk a little bit about your Reiki, which is angelic Reiki 1 and 2, and you're also an angelic Reiki master teacher. Do you combine that with your EFT, or is that something that you practice separately?
Well, I have to say, every healing tool that I have in what we call my toolbox, I use all the time. Because of my angelic Reiki training, I find I work with the angelic realms a lot, and I get guidance from them. And it doesn't matter whether it's EFT or Matrix, or whether I'm doing a psychic tarot reading or an angel card reading, the angels come in and help me all the time. I'm very much connected and listen to my guidance from them all the time. And if I'm doing an EFT session, my intuition very much comes to the fore. If you're helping somebody who has had a big trauma, it could be a car accident or it could be sexual abuse that you're dealing with, and you're asking them to describe to you where they feel it in their body and what does it feel like. And I often find that I get guidance before my clients know where it is themselves. I will know where it is and what the emotions feel like that they're dealing with. And I can prompt them if it's grief or loss or disappointment in themselves or disappointment in somebody else. I can help them to voice what they're feeling if they just cannot find the words to describe how it feels in their body. And this is where my guidance, my angels and my guides come in, and they actually help me and prompt me so that I can help my clients move forward with whatever issues they're dealing with.
Okay, that's absolutely brilliant. How did you get into the Reiki? Did you meet somebody who was already doing Reiki in your area, or did you find out about it some other way?
The Reiki. It's funny you should ask me that, because when I moved to the Worcester area in 2006. At that point, I wasn't doing any kind of psychic work or Reiki, and I was very much guided early 2007 that I needed to learn angelic Reiki. And when I did my training, I found it opened up all the things I had blocked since I was a teenager, because I had had visions when I was a teenager, but because I wasn't prepared and didn't have anybody around me to guide me in that sphere, I was very much afraid and blocked it. So when I did my angelic Reiki training, it opened up a whole new world for me, and it's going today. It's still ongoing.
It is very interesting, that, isn't it? How Reiki does it sort of opens the gate or the doors to much stronger energies coming in, and when you do that, you have to deal with things. It's like you are forced to deal with your own issues so that you can be ready to help and heal your clients. Anyone who thinks Reiki is just a bit of fun, you know, something that is going to be a nice thing. That it is a nice thing, of course, but it's also very cathartic and very cleansing for you as a person, isn't it?
Oh yes, very much so. I mean, they always say that if you're giving Reiki healing, you're actually doubly blessed because you're receiving healing yourself while you're doing the work with your clients.
Yeah.
And I've often found that as a client is on the therapy table, I can see all the angels coming in around.
If I actually feel more energized once I've given healing than before, is that how you feel?
Well, often what happens is as my client is on the therapy couch, I can feel the healing coming to me down onto my client because I've got a very important healing angel called Celestia, and she is very much in the background all the time because even if I'm not doing a Reiki session, I know if somebody needs healing that I'm talking to. And often my angels send the healing through my words so that people receive what they need even when they're speaking to me. And this even applies to when I'm doing a psychic tarot reading, because often I will be guided to say to the person, well, when you receive your CD in the post, I want you to sit down, I want you to just light a few candles, close your eyes, and just let my words waft over you, because in doing this, they're receiving the healing that the angels are sending through my voice. And it's just an amazing feeling.
Healing comes in many forms. I mean, sometimes people say, you know, I want to do healing, and it's not everybody's path to, I feel, to give hands-on healing or to do a therapy. It is some people's path to connect verbally with other people. And at the same time, that can still be a healing process, certainly during the readings, the angel card readings, that you feel there is an energy exchange between you, and you're pulling in the higher energies and the help from the angels. So yes, it's all healing, isn't it?
Oh yes, very much so. And as I say, even with the psychic tarot, I still get healing for whoever needs it while they are listening to me, even through Skype. The energy is so powerful that people still feel the healing coming off my words.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yes, because I had an interview earlier this week myself with Leslie Dolphin. He was asking me about how it could work to give an aura reading over Skype. And I said, well, we're all connected. All energy is connected. It's all vibration. So wherever you are, even if you're over the other side of the world, technically speaking, once you've attuned to that vibration, then you can channel the information. So it's not a matter of geography. But I think, do you feel that your sensitivity and your intuition has increased since you've been doing this type of work enormously?
It
becomes easier. It becomes easier, the feeling of knowing. And let's face it, you know, everybody is at liberty to either say, yes, that helped, or walk away. I mean, it's entirely their choice, isn't it?
Well, it is very much a matter of choice. I do say to my clients that, you know, I will give my reading, and if you decide to take it on board or not, it's very much a personal thing. And if you decide not to take it on board, that's all fine as well, because the universe is going to send to you what is meant to be for you anyway. And if you decide that you don't want to have a reading, and that's perfectly fine also. But I find a lot of people in today's world, they look to have a reading just to have clarity as to what the energy is doing around them at specific times. Because a lot of the times, people will have an idea that, oh, there's something wrong and it just doesn't feel right. And having a reading actually just clarifies and gives them advice for going forward as to how to deal with what's happening in their energy field at that time.
I think so. And also, obviously, if you're sensitive to which chakras are not functioning as well physically, you know, like if the heart is blocked or the throat is blocked, then you're then able to access that during a follow-up treatment. So combining treatments, I think, is a really good idea. I must admit, I haven't had an awful lot of people go for it myself, but I have had some that have said, right, okay, I'll have a reading, then I'll have the follow-up treatment, because I think that's absolutely brilliant. But whether everybody's up for that length of time, because sometimes people will come for a reading and then they'll come back 6 months later, the same issues can keep reoccurring until one day they just decide, right, I've got to make changes. And I think everybody moves forward at their own rate of growth, don't you think, anyway? It's a little bit. Some people, I'm not saying that they can't all be healed, but some people are ready to say, right, I'm going to receive now, when they're ready to receive.
Yeah, I have to say what I find when I am doing a reading, be it a psychic tarot or an angel card reading, that if somebody needs healing at the time, oftentimes my guides will give me a little nudge and say, well, okay, this person needs to be shown how to protect their energy, which I will do during the reading. Or this person needs to know that they need to do some chakra work. Or that they just need to learn how to sit and meditate and just focus on their breathing so that they give their body time to just relax and then re-energize. And I will often do this during the reading so that when people receive their CD of the reading, they have the meditation, they've been taught how to do their white light protection, or they've been taught how to do their grounding technique, so that they have the tools that they need moving forward.
Do you include anything like that on the CD then? You mean that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's what I mean, really, really good.
If I'm doing a reading, and say if it's an hour's reading, they want guidance, yes, month by month for the year. And yeah, my guides will nudge me and say, this person needs to learn how to relax and just be still and focus on their breathing so that they recharge their energy. I will do that in the course of the reading so that when they receive their CD, all they need to do is just listen until they get to the part where the meditation or the protection is, and they know how to do it.
Okay,
and I show them physically while they're having the reading.
That's absolutely brilliant, because sometimes, yes, if someone is becoming very drained, they're unable to detach from situations, they feel corded to people, this, that, the other, they've had the reading, but it's going to say maybe take them a while to release certain situations, then to give them protection is part of it already. You're beginning to get the person into a much more positive place, aren't you?
Yes. And it's very much about, I mean, I'm a healer. I am a healer first and foremost. And it's very much all about me listening to my guidance so that I can send the healing that the people need when they talk to me. And it goes then to wherever they need it at the time.
Okay, so I want to ask you, do you work alone all the time? Or do you, I know that you obviously have your own clients, but do you ever work with anybody else? Or is there a team of you that have done this, that meet up, that do the CFT? Or?
Normally I work alone. I do quite a lot of work either one-to-one or on Skype or Google Hangouts. And I do a lot of workshops. I do angel workshops, letting people know about all the angels and how they can ask them for help and how to be open to their guidance. I do angel parties where I, again, let people know about the angels that are around them and that they can talk to at any time. And I just do a little mini angel card reading while I do the angel party. And I also run meditation courses so that I'm out there, but it's mostly I work on my own most of the time. I do connect up with other EFT practitioners and matrix reimprinting practitioners, because you're always working on your own issues. There is always something that comes up that you would like to deal with yourself and maybe clear it from your energy field. So it's very important to connect and to have that ongoing work that you're doing on yourself as well as other people.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what have you learned or discovered on your journey? Is there something that you could sum up maybe just in one sort of sentence that you'd like to share with others?
The one thing I'm very, very passionate about, and that is that I want everybody who has ME or chronic fatigue syndrome, that there is life after ME. And I would willingly love to work with people to let them know that they can live the life they want to live.
Fantastic. And where are you going with your work in 2014?
I've lots coming up this year. I'm working in Spain at the moment. This is where I'm speaking to you from. And I'll be here until the middle of March. So I'm doing a lot of psychic readings, and I'm working with EFT clients. And when I go back to the UK mid-March, I have a psychic tarot course that I'm running for people who would maybe like to learn how to read the cards for themselves or to take it up professionally. And I've also got three book titles that I want to write this year, and they are very dear to my heart, and particularly the first one, because it's the title of the book I have. It's not written yet, but I'm working on it, and it's called A Present for My Son.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because I have a stillborn baby 33 years ago, and this is my
present
to him.
That's very touching indeed, yeah. It's a great idea to get your books out there and to encourage other people and to let them know about it. Are they about EFT, your books?
Yes, your book second book is EFT? All about EFT and how it helped me recover from ME.
Oh, I see.
And how it brought me out from the dark.
So can I ask you for your link and how people are going to get in touch with you?
I'm in Pershore, just outside Worcestershire. I'm online at jackiepervey.com, and Jackie is spelled J-A-C-Q-U-I. I'm on email at jackie.turvey@yahoo.com, and my Skype name is angeljackie1 if anybody would like to connect with me. And I'm on mobile at 077-3800-9603. And I look forward to helping anyone with ME, because I know that how debilitating the disease is. And just call me.
That's brilliant, Jackie. Thank you so much for being on Co-Creators. We really enjoyed talking to you, and it was absolutely fantastic, and we hope to link up with you another time in the future. Take care for now.
Thank you very much, Jennifer, for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.